Good morning. We're glad to see each and every one of you here this morning, and great to have you back after some weeks of weather and various other things. We still have some folks that are out this morning on vacation, and indeed some that unexpectedly were put in the hospital this week, and we'll tell you more about that a little later. But we want to get started this morning. There's a lot to do over these next few days and weeks as we head into Easter. But today, indeed, we postponed the beginning of our annual meeting from last Sunday to this Sunday because so many could not be with us as a result of the weather. And so I'm going to ask Brother Pat, who is our church board secretary and vice president of our corporation, to come. And we're going to duly declare to open the annual meeting of Nixa Church of the Nazarene for the year of 2015. And this will be the presentation of the ballots. We'll vote on the ballots that you then can vote on after the service today. And before service and after service tonight, before and after service Wednesday night, and before and after service next Sunday morning. And then that way we can span a couple weekends and make sure that we're able to get those who are absent away from us. But Pat, come and read to us the report of the nominating committees, please.
Be patient. We have three nominating letters to read, so just bear with me. First is the church nominating committee. The Committee on Nominations met Thursday, February 12, 2015 at 7 p.m. The following appointed by Pastor Gary Swearingen were present: Pastor Gary, Pat Stevens, Amber Shelton, Steve Kravitz, and Evelyn Reynolds. Evelyn moved and Amber seconded that we, your Committee on Nominations, submit the following reports. 1. That offices needing assistants or delegates needing alternates, the person with the next highest number of votes will serve in that capacity. 2. That a person be elected, should a person be elected to two offices, that person may exercise the option to serve in the position of their choice. Then the person obtaining the next highest number of votes moves into the remaining area of service that has been vacated. 3. That no two persons from the same household can serve on the church board. If more than one person per household are elected to a position where they would be voting members of the church board, they would have to decide between themselves who will serve and who will give up the position. The vacated position would then be filled by the person attaining the next highest number of votes. 4, that on the ballot the names be listed alphabetically, and the motion was approved. We submit the following nominees for offices: Sunday School Superintendent Ben Shelton. Church Board members vote for 6, Jenna Allen, Matt Allen, John Brownwood, Leanne Burgess, Steve Kravitz, Ted Montgomery, and Pat Stevens. Assembly delegates vote for 4, Julie Brooks, Troy Brooks, Leanne Burgess, Ruth Daniel, Phyllis Hahn, John Lewis, Linda Lewis, and Jennifer Swearingen. SDMI vote for 3, Jenna Allen, Matt Allen, Stephanie Brownwood, Steve Beechler, Janet Kravitz, Jennifer Swearingen. Sunday School Convention delegates vote for 4, Julie Brooks, Troy Brooks, Ruth Daniel, Phyllis Hahn, John Lewis, Linda Lewis, Pat Stevens, Carolyn Stevens, and Jennifer Swearingen. The NMI Nominating Committee. The Committee on Nominations met Thursday, February 12, 2015, 7 p.m. The following appointed by Pastor Gary Swearingen were present: Mary Willard, Jennifer Swearingen, and Carolyn Stevens. And if it's all right, is it okay to just skip? The same four provisions are in this nominating ballot that I just read for the previous one, so we'll assume that everybody understands those four provisions, and that motion was approved. We submit the following nominees for offices: President Mary Willard, Vice President Linda Lewis, Jennifer Swearingen. No nominees for were returned for Secretary Treasurer. Study Chairman Carolyn Stevens. NMI Assembly Delegates vote for 4, Ruth Daniel, John Lewis, Linda Lewis, and Jennifer Swearingen. The NMI Nominating Committee. Your Committee on Nominations met Wednesday, February 11, 2015, at 7 p.m. The following were appointed by Pastor Gary Swearingen were present: John Brownwood, Cody Swearingen, Jennifer Raper, Tyler Beechler, and Joy Satterley. Jenny moved and Tyler seconded that we, your Committee on Nominations, submit the following reports. Again, the same four provisions apply here, and the motion was approved. We submit the following nominees for offices: President Cody Swearingen. None for Vice President. Secretary Treasurer Jennifer Raper. At-large council members, college and career, vote for 1, Jenny Raper. Senior youth, vote for 2, Tyler Beechler, Madison Cooper, Joe Satterley, Jason Tooker. Early youth, vote for 1, Madison Satterley. NYI convention delegates, vote for 4, See, college and career. Okay, Tyler Beechler, Jennifer Raper, and Joe Satterley. And that's, I submit these to your church for approval. Move for the adoption of this report.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second to receive this ballot as our electing ballot? Do I have a second? Just a quick explanation. Again, the committees meet. They nominate 2 to 3 times the name that are needed to elect to any office. All of those people receive a nominating letter, and then they have the option of accepting or rejecting those nominations. So this ballot comes to us on the basis of the acceptance or rejection of those opportunities. And those offices where there are vacancies, we can allow those councils to work on filling those positions after the election. And then in the places where normally there's a single name, Sunday school superintendent and missionary president, I know in particular, are on yes-no ballots because they are current incumbents. And so that's where their names were allowed to be presented in one in that way. So any other discussion or questions regarding the ballots? Voting members are 15 years of age and members of Nixa Church of the Nazarene. So there is a list outside. They have your name. So if you are 15 years of age and you have officially joined the church at some point in time, then you are a voting member and you're able to vote on these ballots. And we appreciate your prayerful consideration of these things. Anything else? All in favor then, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. And we consider these ballots official. And indeed, they will be available after the service today out front. And you may ballot if indeed you are 15 years of age and older and a member of the church. The other thing that we need to do right before we get into worship this morning that we do not always have every year, but we do this year. So, Brother Lyle, if you'll come right quick. One of the things that is required by the manual in an annual church meeting is a report of any licensed ministers that we have. And Lyle Brauberger is currently on a local license from the church. And so I've asked him to come and just give you a brief report of his current status and year. And we'll receive his report then.
Hi, I'm Lyle. This year I have taken one class and I passed it successfully. So that's good. I currently had one opportunity to speak, and that was at the teen quiz meet here, and I think that went good too. For future plans, I am going to be going to Colorado Springs, Colorado, early August, late July, sometime then. I'm going to be taking classes on the campus there to pursue my ministry, in my degree in ministry. And God's just been working a lot, I think, through my life, and I've become closer to Him, and He's just awesome. And that's my report.
All right. We are glad that Lyle feels the call in the youth ministry and that he's pursuing that call. Would you accept his report this morning by saying a hearty amen and clapping for him and encouraging him that you'll be praying for him?
All right.
Days of the harvest,
the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, year of jubilee, and at a time until salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and at a time until salvation comes. Hold me close, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee.
You may be seated. Well, good morning. It is great to see you guys this morning. I can say that there's a few more of you out there than there was last Sunday. That nasty thing called snow was here last weekend. But this weekend, our resident snow lover said she's all right with spring going ahead and coming. So we've got some warmer weather, and hopefully we'll continue to increase and things will start to get green and pretty again instead of white and dirty. So, but this morning, we have got several visitors this morning. So we want to say good morning. Welcome to you all. Hopefully you guys will just come on in and feel right at home this morning. Hopefully you guys had a chance to grab a bulletin on your way in. And inside that bulletin, there's going to be a little slip of paper. And that is a guest registration form. If you can take a minute and fill that out and drop that in the offering plate as it is passed, we would love to get to know you a little bit better this morning. If you didn't grab a bulletin, out in the foyer, we have a welcome center. We have a guest book. If you wouldn't mind signing that, like I said, we would love to get to know you a little bit better. But most of all, this morning, we want you guys to feel at home this morning. You guys are going to be family this morning. If you would, go ahead and turn with me in those bulletins. I'm just going to highlight just a couple announcements, some that aren't in there and some that are a little bit more pressing than others are. The first one being, we have a SDMI meeting directly following service today. So those of you that are part of my committee, please meet. We're just going to meet very briefly in that West Side Overflow classroom. Then tonight, a lot of you know that we've been having Financial Peace University here at the church. Tonight is the last night for that, but we do have a little bit of a time adjustment. Because we've had some bad weather in the past, they had to skip one. So they're going to be making that up tonight. So tonight, for those of you that are part of Financial Peace, you need to be here at the church at 5:30 for that. So just a half hour early so that you guys can get all that taken care of. And then tomorrow night, for those of you that are board members, it is the last church board meeting of the church calendar year. So please try to be there for that. I know that we'll be going over finances and everything else that we've done in this past year. Down at the towards the bottom, you can see some of the upcoming events that we've got going on. I do want to touch on Teen Retreat. For those of you that have teens, that'll be coming up. That's an annual retreat that the teens do. That's the 20th through the 22nd. If you all need more information on that, those of you that have teens, you can see John Brownwood. And then on the 28th of this month, That'll be a busy day here for the church. We have our men's breakfast that we have started for our men's fellowship, and that'll be at 8 o'clock that day. But that evening, the church is actually hosting the zone rally for the, is that the Joplin district or the Springfield?
For the Springfield area,
and that will be at 7 p.m. on that Saturday evening. We will be having some finger foods and a little bit of fellowship afterwards. So we need some volunteers for greeters, for ushers, parking attendants, and then servers for that fellowship that's afterwards. So be in prayer. If you feel led to volunteer in any way, shape, or form for that, that is the zone rally that will be here at the church on the 28th. There is a sign-up sheet. So that's out there on the Welcome Center as well. And then again, I want to hit on the elections. Please, 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 I can't stress enough, get out there either after church today, before church tonight, Wednesday night, or next Sunday, and vote on the upcoming church year. It is so important that we have good voter turnout. That way we make certain that we get the right people in there and get them voted for that. But if you would, keep this bulletin handy. We got a lot of stuff coming up as the weather gets warmer. And my wife just flagged me down, so I didn't forget this announcement. On the 29th of this month, there will be the first Vacation Bible School meeting of the year. That will be at 5 p.m. before church on that Sunday evening. She'll be going over what is going to be needed and what kind of the theme is for this upcoming Vacation Bible School. So if you feel led to volunteer or participate in any way, shape, or form on the 29th, try to be here at the church at 5 p.m. We'll have some more announcements about that as we get closer to that day. But keep this bulletin handy. Also, check out our website. It's got a calendar with the events and times of everything that is going on.
And just before you turn them loose to greet, a couple of things that are just kind of late-breaking that have been coming together this week. And we've been talking about also, we will be doing, for probably the first time that I can remember, a baptism service on Sunday morning, the 22nd of March, due to some family that can come in from out of state and some things like that, and it's the only time they can be here. We will have a baptism service that morning, so if there's anyone else that's interested in baptism, please see me. We will be doing a baptism on Sunday morning, March the 22nd. That's also the day of the dog's dinner. You remember back during the revival with Brandon, we talked about doing a church health assessment. And we got through the holidays, and we've got that ordered. I have those papers in hand. I need about 29 people who will fill out those assessments and that are involved in church ministry and small groups and various other things. We think the best time to do that, according to church New Church Specialties, they say it's best to do that in about a 30-minute meeting while you've got people together, because they don't want the paperwork to leave the building. Just we want to do it, get it turned in, and mail it to them so they can assess it. So we're going to do that at the dog's dinner, okay? We're going to try to, if we can get 29 of you to fill those reports out for us before you leave that day. We'd like to try to get this done as soon as possible, get it in, get the assessments back, and help us as we're looking at regeneration and growth in the church. And so we wanted to follow through on these things and say thanks to those who helped make that possible. And so that will be happening on the 22nd. And just wanted you to be aware of that. We need your help with those items.
All right. Well, this time we are going to head into our greeting time. Go ahead and stand. Find someone that you don't recognize, or maybe you haven't had a chance to see him yet this morning, and greet one another.
We're part of Oh,
Good morning. First of all, I want to announce that those of you that are making Evangel hats, we've decided it would be really good as you make those to bring them in and just put them on the box in the on the bookshelf, and then we can kind of keep track of how many we have. So far, I think we have 33 that have been brought in. So if you can just, as you make them, just bring them in so we can kind of keep track of them. This morning, I wanted to share with you some messages that we got from our sponsored children and their greetings for Christmas time. And the first one, I thought you would really enjoy looking at them. The one that's on the screen right now is from Bipool, and he is from Bangladesh. And I want to read what he writes. And I'm just amazed at the handwriting. I hope you can see that. I mean, it's pretty interesting. But anyway, it didn't... when it translates a little bit different. So it's kind of different when I read it. Dear sponsor, at first you take the bless and love in the Christ. I hope that you and your family by the grace of God. I am also well by the grace of God. Now it is spring season in our country. How fine we heard the sweet voice of the cuckoo. Please pray for me that I can good study. I pray for you and your family. May God bless you. Thanks. Bye, Pool. And then the second one is from Jennifer, and she is in Guatemala. Dear sponsors, the reason for this letter is to thank God for another day and to wish you a happy Christmas Eve. May God bless you and be with you this Christmas and give you a prosperous new year. These are my best and dearest wishes from Jennifer.
If our ushers will come, we'll prepare to receive our morning tithes and offerings. Pastor Don and Ruth are helping a granddaughter move this weekend, so pray for them as they are away from us and taking care of their family. It's been a challenging several years for them and trying to make adjustments with family, and so we appreciate your prayers over them as they travel and help out their family this weekend. And appreciate all that you do to support the ministry of your church. And Brother Darrell, if you would, come and just ask God's blessing on our offering this morning and receive my tithes and offering.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning and we just ask that you would bless each of these gifts and tithes as they're granted to your service. Just ask that you would bless each and every family that's here today. Be with those that weren't able to be here today. Watch over them, guide them, and protect them. Go with us for the remainder of the service. Be with Brother Gary as he brings the message, that it may touch our hearts. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
I will seek you. 4:7 says, God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. This is kind of like the Nazarene theme song.
Thank you.
Is that the reason that you live this morning? Is every moment of every day worship, service to the Lord? As we prepare our hearts for prayer this morning, we want to be mindful of those things indeed that are within our bulletin. And we appreciate your prayers so much for some family members of my family. My Aunt Alberta Watson got to go home from the hospital yesterday. I have not heard for sure. The early reports a week ago were that when they released her, they would release her into hospice care. And I'm not sure if that's specifically what has happened. I didn't get a chance to talk with the family yesterday, but I know she was released yesterday about noon. And then my Uncle Bill, Cheryl's dad, is in Select Hospital in recovery, is doing well. I saw him, see him several times, matter of fact, during the week, but he was sitting up in a wheelchair in a turtle shell brace and had his dobro and was playing music. He that's his therapy now. So at any rate, he's witnessing to the nurses and trying to teach Sunday school while he's there and doing all that's Uncle Bill. So at any rate, he's a great Christian guy. The Lord has done a absolute miracle for those of you who may not have caught the details through all the weather incidents and everything. My Uncle Bill is 85 this month. He hit a tree head on at about 60 mile an hour, and so he is a walking miracle, and we give God the honor and the glory and the praise. We also want to remember Dale Reynolds, Evelyn Reynolds' husband, who's making adjustments now with, and obviously Evelyn making adjustments as well to care for him with a diabetic diagnosis, and so changing the lifestyle habits there. We also want to continue to pray for our folks that are recovering from surgery, Donna Groves and Bonnie Burke, recovering from knee surgery. We have Maxine, who came in this morning back there and has had trigger finger surgery, so she's had her hand operated on, a shot in the other hand. Just pray that God will cause all that to go well. Julie Brooks is in the hospital this morning. She has a viral bronchial infection. She went in Friday night. And hopefully with some breathing treatments and things, they're going to be able to get her out here in a day or so. And so Troy and Julie are at the hospital this morning. Would appreciate your prayers. I assured her that we would be remembering her. Brother Ted will go in, I believe, Friday of this week and have a lung biopsy after the pneumonia that he battled there at the end of December. And so just some things are continuing to check out and look at. So be in prayer for Ted as he has that biopsy done on Friday. And then there's just a myriad of things that are in our bulletin. We want to pray for our Financial Peace University group. Tonight is their final class, and they've been going at it for about 9 or 10 weeks now. We've heard very encouraging and very good reports, and we say thanks again to Steve and Janet for being our facilitators and bringing this idea to us and being willing to help that to happen. We're excited about the things indeed that are upcoming, special services, the 22nd, the baptism service, the dog's dinner. And then the night of the 22nd, we will get back to our small group schedule. So those of you who have been out of small groups, since almost everybody has been involved in Financial Peace University, the 22nd on Sunday evening will be the restart of our small groups. And so be praying for that. Then on the 5th is Easter, the 29th is Palm Sunday. A lot of things going on leading into those Sundays, and we'll have some exciting things, I think, to share with you, some celebrations that are going to be going on in the service on Easter Sunday morning. So just a lot of great stuff that's happening, but many busy things. Be praying about us being able to get this church specialties health assessment put together. We're looking at the health and the growth of our church. And just pray that God will continue to help us to regenerate and to fill the pews and be all that He desires for us to be. So be remembering these things in your prayers as well. Stand with me if you would this morning. We're going to sing together. As we sing, these altars are open to you. If you need a place to pray, lay down burdens, lift up praise, whatever the case might be, we encourage you just to find a place. No one's going to come to you. It'll be your private place of prayer. And indeed, then we'll lift our voices in prayer together. gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with grateful hearts. We thank you for your involvement in our lives. Lord, there are those who would tell us that you are a long distance away from us and indeed not involved, and we beg to differ. Lord, we believe this morning that we have a personal relationship with you, that you love us. We believe your word is true. You tell us that you have the hairs on our head numbered and that indeed you know our comings and our goings. And so, Father, we indeed are grateful to have someone that is as large as you are in capacity and knowledge and wisdom, to have someone like you who loves us and cares for us. And Lord, I just heard this past week that someone said scientists had discovered a new galaxy some 31 million light years away from this galaxy as we know it. And Lord, we're reminded that you have the universe in the palm of your hand. And so, Lord, there's not anything too big for you to handle. And yet, there's also not anything too small that you're not aware of it or interested in it in our lives. And so, Father, we come with humble hearts, but with anticipation and excitement that the great God Jehovah, the God of heaven, the God of the universe, cares about us. And Lord, we come this morning because we want our church to be your church. We want to be all that you desire for us to be. Father, we have surrendered our lives to you. And Lord, we are reminded that in surrender and yielding, that it's not just about what we're going to gain from it, but what we can offer, Lord. And while that's not much, we offer you a channel through which you can indeed interact and communicate with your creation. And so, Father, we are here this morning yielding ourselves, humbling ourselves, and asking you to help us and teach us how to get ourselves out of the way. Lord, we pray that that indeed this message of holiness that we've been singing about, Father, that we would be able to unashamedly and with boldness proclaim the good news that Jesus loves us. He died for us on a cross. That he not only died to forgive our sins, but he died to deliver us from the power of sin. And as Janet said, to make us holy. And so, Lord, we pray that you indeed would give us victory in Jesus today. Lord, we thank you. We know that you're Lord of the weather, and Lord, it's been a little bit of a struggle to have services that have been canceled and weather that has kept people away. Lord, we're thankful for a beautiful day outside. We're thankful for the springtime of the year. We're thankful for new creation. We're thankful for new life. And Lord, we pray that you would bring this spring, that you would bring new life into our church numerically and spiritually. Help us to win souls to you, Father, and indeed to be able to invite our friends to our services, but more than that, to invite them to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, we pray that you would make this church a lighthouse to our community, that we indeed would represent a hospital to those who are sin sick and those who need help. We pray that this would be a place of healing, a place of hope, a place of encouragement. Lord, we pray that you indeed would just make us everything that you gave us the potential to be. So, Lord, bless our worship today. We pray that you would continue to fill this place with your presence. We pray, Father, that you would put your hand, your stamp of approval upon what is said and done here this morning. And may we go from this place encouraged and uplifted and challenged to do all that you would desire for us to do. Lord, we commit this list of names in our bulletin into your hands. We commit the names that are written on our hearts that maybe have not even been spoken out loud, Lord, but you know them. And we commit them to you, ask you to put your hand upon them, work every situation in only the way that you can. And Lord, we're going to trust you for victory. We pray that the enemy would be defeated, that Jesus would be lifted up, and that we would be in the glory and the presence of Almighty God. And so, Lord, we thank you for what you have done, are doing, and what you're going to do. We receive it and we claim it in the precious and the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
I had a song that I wanted to sing this morning, practice it for weeks, kept that message going through my mind and just working on the song.
And Janet doesn't know the song. None of the musicians here that accompany us know the song. So, with my great luck, as usual, I found out that there is absolutely no accompaniment track available for that particular song. But now I understand why, because that's not the song I was supposed to sing. This song is. This is what sanctification is to me. When God has all of you, and you are seeking to do His complete, total will and give the Holy Spirit right away in your heart, all of me.
That's pretty good, wasn't it? I wish every one of you could indeed view things from my vantage point occasionally and see some of the things that I see. And I think you're well aware of it, but if you're not aware of it, Donna, who is sitting over here, is Steve's slightly more mature sister. Is that a good way to say that? Was that safe, Lonnie? I don't want to get in too much trouble there. Any rate, I was watching Donna as she was listening to her little brother sing. And family is great, isn't it? Family is wonderful, and we're blessed to have different family connections here. And we all have the connection through the family of God, and what a wonderful thing it is. And I was just sitting here thinking, as Steve was testifying there a little bit before that song, that I was so glad that this morning we were going to be ministered to rather than observing a performance. And I know that because he prayed about it. and he asked God to use him, and he changed that song. I'm sure, I've listened to Steve sing enough that I know Steve can sing any song he sings really well. And I like to hear Steve sing. But I am so glad that I heard him sing that song this morning as opposed to the one he worked on for so long. Now, he could have sung a cappella and it would have been beautiful and he would have done fine. But it means so much more when the presence and the power and the anointing of God is on what is taking place. There's something that happens there that doesn't just happen when somebody just shares their talent. Right? And that's what we want. And what a great thing and what a comforting thing it is as a pastor to know that the people who play your instruments, the people who are hopefully preparing to preach, and the people who are doing special music, that they're indeed seeking God's direction, and God is orchestrating a plan and putting things together in such a wonderful way. So thank you, Steve, for that beautiful song this morning. And thanks to our musicians, which, by the way, sometimes we don't know everything about all of you, but we're working on a project right now. We have some multi-talented people, and we would be glad for there to be more musicians on our platform. And we're working on a little plan right now. I'm not going to reveal it to you openly because I don't want to scare anybody off. But particularly the person that maybe is going to volunteer to help us out. But at any rate, if you have the ability to play an instrument, if you play a lead guitar or a rhythm guitar or a bass guitar or drums or any of those kinds of things, we got room on our platform to do some more things. We could add a second keyboard. Who knows? We could do a lot of things that would enhance our opportunity. We want you to be able to serve God through your church. We want you to be able to use your talents and those kinds of things. And if indeed you have an interest in singing on the praise team at any point in time, I would encourage you to speak with Janet about that. If you're interested in singing in the choir, then I would have you to speak with Brother Steve, who is our choir director. And our choir does the cantatas and does special music from time to time. Lots of opportunities. There's lots of ways that you can serve God. And indeed, Steve made a mention to me there, and also I'll just do this while I'm at this point. But when we do those 29 church health surveys, you don't have to be a specific member of the church to fill out a survey. You do need to be involved in a small group, which could be either our small groups or a Sunday school class. And indeed, if we need some folks who are involved in ministry and in leadership team, church board members, those kind of things. But we need 29 people who will fill out that church health survey, and then we'll send those in. They will be assessed and come back and help us as we look to the growth of our church. And I say that to tell you that I want to talk to you this morning about the fact the church is going to rise again. How many of you have ever seen those Dixie flags, you know, when somebody's always saying the South's going to rise again, you know, all that kind of stuff? Well, you know, I happen to know that our God knows something about raising things. You believe that? If you don't, I hope you do behind the sermon's over with. But I believe the church is going to rise again. I know all of us are concerned that, you know, we watch the numbers. That's a way for us to measure things. Numbers is a way to measure something. And we watch the numbers, and there are concerns. We've lost 9 people to death in the last year. That's affected our numbers. We've had some people relocate geographically. That's affected our numbers. And we've not brought in enough new people to replace all of that yet. And so that's what we want to do. We want to regenerate. We want to fill the pews. We want the church to be full and vibrant. And so we talked last week, and if you haven't seen it, you can go online and see it. I'll touch base in a summary of it today, but you can hear the message on the website from last Sunday. And we talked about some things that we can do, because we do not believe that our church is dead. We think there's things that we can do better. We think there's some things that we can fix. There's some things that we can indeed continue to do that we do well. But we want to have a place that is open to the world, a place where people can come and find God, a place where people can find help. I heard something at Pastor and Wives Retreat. Let me see if I can remember this. I didn't write it down. I wrote it down, but it's in my office. But something to the effect, and this is probably not an exact quote, but something to the effect that if a church does not have broken people in it, it's broken. It's like, wow. You know, because sometimes we've kind of left the world with the impression that they got to get all cleaned up and get right before they ever get in here. This is a hospital, folks. What kind of people go to the hospital to stay for a while? Sick people. You know, the people who are healthy go in and come out, and they come and go and minister to others. The facility is here to provide help to those who need help. And so I want to read to you in text this morning from Luke chapter 8. I want to share with you, I told the people last week that I had heard a message at Pastor and Wives Retreat, and I wanted to at least to kind of share the summarization of it whenever the Lord would allow me to do that, and indeed He has allowed that this morning. So I'm going to share with you kind of the essence of a message that I heard in the course of delivering this message to you this morning, and hopefully it will stir your heart in the way that it stirred mine. It came to us at Pastor and Wives Retreat from Reverend Bob Broadbrooks, and a great speaker. And I thought it just fit. I thought it fit our church and where we are at. And so I hope it will encourage you and inspire you in the way that it did me. But I want to take text from Luke chapter 8 this morning, beginning at verse 40. And then skipping down to verse 49 through 55. We're just going to read a couple of verses here in Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 42. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. And then go from there to verse 49. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she'll be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead. She's asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. So God knows something about raising things up. God knows something about overcoming a prognosis of death. God is in the business of life. And indeed, as I share with you this morning, this particular message came, this portion of the message came from Reverend Broadbrooks. He said that he was laying in bed one night, and indeed the Lord awakened him in the morning, and he said, "This is the weirdest thing." He said, "There were three words in my mind when I woke up." Three words. North American bison. You're not saying amen or anything yet. And he said, that was the craziest thing. But he said, here I was awake and the Lord, North American bison. So he said, I went to my computer and I put in those three words, North American bison. He said, I began to find some incredible things. And he put together this message. And I want to give you kind of the synopsis of it here as part of this message this morning. The North American bison was the largest mammal walking the American plains. It numbered 60 million. 60 million in the early days of this unpopulated world other than the Native Americans. It stood 6 feet six tall, weighed 2,000 plus pounds, could run 35 miles per hour, and was the Native American Walmart. The Indians used the bison for everything. They did not waste anything. If they killed a bison, they used the hides for clothing and for shelter. They used the bones for tools and weapons. They ate the meat. The entrails were used for fertilizer. I mean, there wasn't anything about the bison that didn't get used. It was indeed the Native American Walmart. But in the latter half of the 19th century, the population of the North American bison was reduced to 500 animals. From 60 million in basically 100 years, from 60 million to 500. Now, since that time, which would have been the early 1900s now, the population, for specific reasons which we'll get into in just a moment, has now increased to the current population being about 500,000 bison in North America. What can we learn about the church from the North American bison? Well, let's talk for just a few moments about the reasons for the decline of the North American bison. There are several factors that indeed, as Brother Broadbrooks looked at the history and the encyclopedia material about the North American bison, that he said began to trip triggers in his mind about the church. He said, first of all, there was in the decline a massive cultural change. In other words, we had Indians with bows and arrows and horses that were using the bison to help them along. And what happened was when the people discovered America and they began to populate America and the pioneers began to move out west, settlers began to get into the plains and the west, that the culture changed from Indians with bows and arrows on horses to settlers with long rifles on trains. There was a massive cultural change. And folks, I don't know if you know it or not, but there's been a massive cultural change affecting the church in these last few years. There are enough of us left around who our memories of the past were going to church three times a week. Our memories of the past, particularly through the 50s and 60s, was a culture that even people who didn't necessarily claim to be Christians were often church-going Americans. We remember through probably the early 1900s up until the 50s or 60s that the church used to be the center of the community. It was the community. When they had gatherings, it happened around the church. The sit-down dinners and the 4th of July celebrations and all the kind of stuff, small communities, they did that around the life of the church. And what has happened now, the American culture has a generation that has no religious memory. There are currently people being raised up as Americans that don't remember ever going to church. They don't remember gospel messages. They don't remember memories of doing things in community in the church. There is a massive cultural change. The second thing is a dramatic habitat loss. As the rails begin to come to the west, there was an interruption of the civilization, of the migratory paths of the North American bison. They used to travel from up into northern Canada all the way down into southern U.S. As the trains came across, those paths were interrupted. Matter of fact, I'm sure most of you who studied any Western history at all know that it became a factor that trains would often stop, and the engineer of that train, the conductor of that train, would say, "Hey, we're going to stop a minute. Look out there. There's a whole lot of bison. It'll be a lot of fun if you just take your rifles and shoot some of them." They didn't shoot them because they needed food. They didn't shoot them because they needed shelter. They didn't shoot them because they needed clothes. They shot them for fun. And they left them lay on the plains. And you know what the Indians thought? The Indians thought, what kind of a savage would come in here and kill a useful animal like this in that way and leave it lay? There was a dramatic habitat loss. And we see this happening now. Let me give you a modern day analogy. It's much simpler and much more concise. But when I came to this church, there was only that 2-story educational unit back there. And the field behind the church, that 2.5 acres, was a hayfield. And so we talked about the things that we would do as a church to be more appealing to our community. And one of the things that we wanted to do first was just get the place mowed up and get it cleaned up. And so, indeed, we were able to mow the grass around the church pretty quickly. But we had to bring in a tractor and a brush hog to do the back field to get it knocked down before we could even begin to mow it like we mow it now. And the funny thing was that we had no idea what kind of wild population there was. I mean, at that day and time, my house was the only house back there. All these other houses were not there. And so we were building the parsonage on that piece of property that we owned. And we got this tractor and brush hog in here, and we were brush hogging. The guy that was running the brush hog had his son with him, and he and I played ball together. He went to church here, and he got off the tractor. I drove up on the property, and he came to talk to me, and his son kept driving the brush hog. And while we were talking, we got to the point that there was one swath of tall grass, one swath. And he was about to make that run down that swath of tall grass with that tractor and brush hog. And we were just standing there. We were standing right here at the edge of the field behind the church where the asphalt driveway is now. Goes around. And Russ and I were standing there talking. And the beatenest thing happened. When Matt started down that last swath of tall grass, there were field rats that looked like possums that went everywhere because we took their habitat away. We didn't see them until we went down the last swath because as we were mowing, they kept going into the tall grass. And they just, all of them kept moving in there. And we ran that last swath. And we were in the last swath. I mean, there were like rats running everywhere. And I was holding an aluminum softball bat. And the first thing that came to my mind, some of you won't appreciate this because you won't recognize it. How many of you know who Jerry Clower is? First thing that came to my mind was Jerry Clower's old rat killings. I thought we ought to have rat killing. Anyway, we interrupted their culture. We interrupted their civilization. We interrupted their migratory paths. Listen to this now. In two generations of time, do you realize that the statistic says now that there is 23% of Canada and 19% of the United States who have absolutely no religion whatsoever in their life? None. A dramatic habitat loss. The church culture is changing. There was the introduction of disease. What happened was as the bison were roaming the plains and as the settlers came in and began to settle, they brought with them cattle. And you know what happened is when you bring domestic stuff in and you can't keep the fences built all the time, sometimes the domestic stuff mixes with the wild stuff, and domestic cattle introduced disease into the bison herds. Weakened the genetics of the wild bison. And in that crossbreeding, they began to die. When the world infiltrates the church is weakened. We're supposed to be a light in the darkness rather than the darkness extinguishing the light. But sometimes when we begin to buy into some philosophies, and I'm not saying that all change is bad, and I'm not saying that all change is unspiritual, but what I'm saying is sometimes the world adapts philosophies and they try to bring them in. We're fighting, you know, we're a conservative holiness church, and the truth of the matter is now, we are fighting issues like homosexuality, abortion, things that in our opinion the Bible makes a black and white statement about, cohabitation. I didn't get to see all of it. I just kind of caught part of it. So I'm probably going to talk very eloquently here. But I think it was in Florida where there are now some churches that have to have a license to pray. And there are actually people that are coming in secretly that are inspectors for the city and setting the church services. And if you can't produce that license when they ask for it, then your corporate gathering doing that business is not official and they can fine you. I'm telling you, it's crazy. Things that we have been comfortable with and not even thought things about and things that we've put a message out there, the world, as the world infiltrates, does not want to be given the light. And the enemy is fighting hard, tooth and toenail, to infiltrate the church. And as a result of that, the church sometimes has discouraged attitudes and cooled hearts that translate into apathy. And we just kind of keep doing what we're doing without a whole lot of thought about it, and without a lot of passion, and less of us do it all the time. There was the incorrect pervasive opinion. In other words, there was an opinion that 60 million bison would last forever. That there would be more. There's just a bunch of them, so we won't ever run out. 60 million down to 500 is a significant loss. Almost to the point of extinction. Did you know that in America, the average life cycle of a local church is 75 years? Now, we know there are churches out there celebrating their 100th anniversary and those kind of things, and that's great. But the truth of the matter is, right now in America, the average lifespan of a local church is 75 years. And then it disappears. Do you know that the church growth statistics say that the churches that have the best growth in them are 5 years of age or less in America? So what that says is a church that's been around for a while, a church that's established, has to be doing something to do some inspection and introspection to say, what are we doing right and what are we doing wrong? What do we need to change in order to stay effective? If we don't continually do health assessment, then we're liable to end up being sick, dead, and dying before we even know it. And if we see it happening, we have to do something about it. We cannot be apathetic. We have to take steps to change church health. I had a heart attack in 2002. I immediately was directed to change my diet. I lost 30 pounds and got in better health and ate differently. And then from 2002 to 2013... There was a gradual trend to get comfortable and to get a little bit apathetic and not do away with as many French fries as I used to and to indeed begin to intake a little more sugar to keep all the church ladies happy when they ask if I ate their dessert. I wanted to help them, you know, I wanted them to be happy. And so in the process of that, I gained that 30 pounds back. In 2013, I had another heart attack. And so then I regenerated, you know, and I dropped 30 pounds and got back down to a reasonable weight. And yet the other day I got on the scales and I see that weight's starting to make a slow creep back again because I've gotten a little more comfortable. And what happens sometimes is we get comfortable. And when we get comfortable, we quit disciplining ourselves. We quit focusing on all the right things and we begin to get a little lax and a little lazy. And indeed, some things can happen. There was also not only an incorrect pervasive opinion, but there was a radically altered perception. In other words, the Indians respected the bison. They revered the animal. The pioneers did not. The pioneers saw the bison as something to be used, not appreciated. The Native American Indians knew what it provided for them, but they held it in esteem. And that radically altered perception led to the demise of the bison because they could shoot them for sport rather than actually using them for life-sustaining purposes. What happens when people in the church do church when they don't have something else to do? What happens when church is no longer the priority, but what I do when I don't have something else to do? What happens when church is about what's in it for me rather than how can I serve God through the church? How many of you remember what John Kennedy said? Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Well, I'm going to have to move quickly. There was a change, though. That indeed, after all this decline, there was indeed an increase of the bison. And this is the reason that they increased. Six people decided they were about to lose the North American bison. One Native American woman and five American men met together, one of which I believe was President Roosevelt, and they put together a conservation society for the North American bison. And they began then to do some things specifically to change the decline of that population. They got together and set up conservation laws. They began to capture the bison and control them for their breeding. breeding and care and begin to build herds. There was a unifying message that the bison were not to be wasted, but to be appreciated. And indeed, we have a message in our church, and we've sung about it all day today, the message of holiness. Is a unifying message. It's not a defeatist message. It does not tell you that you have to sin every day in word, thought, and deed. It does not tell you that you can't get any better till you get to heaven. It does not tell you, but it tells you that Jesus died to make you holy and will infill you and indwell you with His sanctifying presence right here, right now, give you the power and the ability to make right choices, do right things, and live a holy life and quit making excuses for bad behavior, which makes a whole different world for everybody else to live in. That's the message we have to offer. God's cleansing, infilling, and the change of life. It's a message not everybody is offering. And then there was new herd development. They decided that rather than just trying to create one big herd, they began to establish little bison herds all over the place. How many of you remember the 18th century, the great revivals that went around with the Wesley brothers and all those people? And in the inception of the Church of the Nazarene, there was a mentality with Phineas Brazee and the early church that everywhere they went, they would start a Nazarene church in every town they were in. The holiness message spread throughout the world. Every community should have a church in it with the holiness message. When we create those kind of numbers, then the church indeed grows as a denomination, as a body of Christ, but yet there are also these growing groups in every city. There was genetic diversity. One of the things that they did with the American Plains bison is they crossbred it with the Canadian wood bison and made it a better animal. But what it also reminds us of is that God created all of us. He likes us all no matter what race, color, creed, language, whatever it is. God wants all His children in church. And we have to be able to see everyone and everything the way that God sees them. And then there was specific health and reproduction measures that were taking. In other words, they found out the bison is a high-stress animal. They don't handle stress well. And so they created environments to where they were low-stress environments, and they produced more calves. How many of you know that new life brings excitement? There was 36 people here last week when I dedicated my new grandson, but I was pretty excited anyway. When old Will came out of the delivery room and I was up in the hospital in Overland Park and he said, "It's a boy," I was pretty excited. New life brings excitement. When somebody comes to me and says, "Pastor, we get to light the candle today. Somebody got saved. We're gonna light the candle." I get excited. The angels in heaven rejoice every time somebody comes to Jesus. We need to realize that God can do things that we don't even believe He can sometimes, that we forget that He can. Remember Sarah in the Old Testament when she gave birth. Remember Elizabeth in the New Testament. They were way beyond their years. That was a miracle. That was something that shouldn't happen, but it did. And so I remind you, as I did last week, the church can rise. The same kind of thing if we plan for the health of the church. If we plan to preserve who we are and what we're about in the right ways, with the right methods, in the current culture, meeting people's needs and responding to people with an open invitation, the church can rise. And what I shared with you last week in this message was that there were three things that would help the church rise. Number one, that we have the right message. And we've talked about that already. The holiness message is the right message. Hebrews 12:14 says, "Without holiness, no man will see the Lord." We have a ministry responsibility. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible tells us that God indeed gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that He wants to be right with people. He wants them to be right with Him, and He wants to grow His church. And we're going to be talking in the future. I'm going to be talking with the board on Monday night about some new ministry ideas and some things that will help us to reach out into our community. And they're going to be sharing some of their ideas with me as well. And we're going to try to work together as the leadership of the church to say, "Hey, we're not just going to keep doing stuff the same old way we do. We're going to find new ways to reach out to people and say, Jesus loves you and so do we. And invite you to be a part of what we do." And we know that there is indeed a mission field out there. Declining doesn't have to mean deceased. If we'll take responsibility to turn the thing and head it in another direction. Let me close with a scripture reading this morning. John chapter 11, Verse 23, Mary and Martha upset because their brother is dead. In verse 23, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Then jump over to verse 38 with me. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days." And there would be people probably right here today that said, "There's some things around here that stink." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" If we believe the church is dead, it will be. But if we believe that God's the God of the resurrection, the church can rise again. Depends on what you believe. What do you believe? "If you believed, you would see the glory of God." So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." That's the word for the church this morning. Take off the grave clothes. Get past the stink a little bit. And believe. Believe that you can see the glory and the power and the presence of Almighty God, and take off the grave clothes and let her go. $60 million to $500 million. Now back to 500,000. I take just a little bit of that. Do you believe? Do you believe God's still God? Do you believe God can raise people from the dead? Do you believe God wants people to come to Him? Do you believe He can do that through us? So do I. So do I. Take off the grave clothes. Let Him go. Let's do our part. Let's let the Lord work and live through us in the lives of others. So go from this place today. Stand with me if you would. We're a blessed people. God has blessed us with a beautiful facility. We have a great message. Let's just share. Just be you. Just tell what great things God's doing in your life. Share with others. Invite. Give them opportunity. We'll be talking to you in future days about some ideas and thoughts about what we can do as a church to continue to share the gospel to the people we meet. Father, we thank you for this day. Just quickly in this moment, Father, we want to ask you to look within our hearts and help us to look in the mirror and say, do I believe? Do I believe that God can raise up the dead? Do I believe that God still wants to win the lost? Do I believe that there are lost people out there, and am I willing to put myself on the line to take off the grave clothes and let the church go? What will I do? What do I believe? Speak to our hearts, O God. And as we stand here in just this moment of time, let us make a decision. Let us make a decision. What do I believe? And what will I do about it? And all God's people said,